WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Captain Optimism is here.
I'm going to get a costume, like a Captain America costume, and I'm going to replace A with an O.
I feel like you should just do like a terrible like $2 cape that's like red
and like a cheap little mask.
Sports Talk Saturday.
And just have a piece of paper with Optimism taped on my shirt.
On WGR.
Oh, no. Crazy Derek's coming. Stop. Wait. Listen to me.
Here I come to save the day.
If he can get, there he goes. We're all right.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Talk Saturday. That's right. Captain Optimism is back. And I'm actually feeling pretty optimistic today. So, you know, first time for everything. No, I'm just kidding. It's been a long time since I've not been optimistic about Buffalo sports and the Bills, the Sabres, and everything else in between. But welcome in. Sports Talk Saturday. Josh Schmidt here with you. Riding solo today for about an hour. Going to get you started on a Sabres pre-game, if you want to call it that. We're going to be talking some Sabres. We can talk some Bills because we did have some big injury news yesterday. Terrell Bernard, Dwayne Carter, and Curtis Samuel all out for the Bills on Sunday. Not great. Not an ideal way to start off the weekend on yesterday's news. But, you know, still got the main starters, the mainstays of the Bills there. We don't know much about DK Metcalf yet. I mean, it's kind of a gray area still, which is just kind of weird. I wish they would just tell us what happened and if he's going to be playing or not, because he hasn't really practiced all week. So that's still up in the air for the Seahawks side of things. But as I said, Sabres play today at 1. Bills played tomorrow, 4:05. So we could talk about both, but I want to focus mainly on the Sabres today, as today's a pretty big game. It's the first Goathead game of the year for the team, which always brings good vibes. It's the second of a 4-game homestand for the team, but the first game in 4-5 days? Feels like a week and a half since they played last. But last game was Tuesday against the Stars in a win for the Sabres, 4-2. That one was fun up until the end where it got a little too close. But Sabres closed it out, which is good. Something we didn't see too often last year. Sometimes it would slip away from them at the end. But hey, this is a new team. New leaf has been turned over. Sabres are starting to close out games where they should win, and they did so against Dallas on Tuesday, which is one of the better teams in the league, which was great to see. The one thing that I will always be wondering until it happens is, when is this team going to score a power play goal? The organization itself, for a minute there last week, didn't have a power play goal amongst its three teams, being the Sabres, the Rochester Americans, and the Jacksonville Icemen in the ECHL. But I did some digging this morning, and the Jacksonville Icemen have scored 3 power play goals on 9 power play attempts, giving them a 33% power play percentage. So one of the teams in the organization does have some power play points. The Americans are still not able to score on the power play yet. They've had 24 power play chances, no power play goals. The Sabres have had 22 power play chances, no power play goals. So that's probably the biggest thing that fans are going to be watching for today, especially with the goat head back. I want to hear what you think. If you have a thought on the game today, what's it mean to you? If the Sabres win, what does that mean for, you know, your feeling about the team? It's another win at home. And what does that mean for the season in general? Give me a call, 803-0550. I'll be taking your calls here for about an hour, getting you ready for pregame, the Steve Foley Wall pregame with Brian Koziol, Pat Malcaro, and Paul Hamilton. Sabres puck drop today at 1 o'clock. You know, I really love these afternoon games, especially when they're the goat head games and it's the fall. It's that nice elite fall weather out there. It's just a good day all around. Not much rain in the forecast, I don't think. So it's just one of those days where it's like, man, like, this is your ideal Buffalo sports fall day. Granted, the Bills don't play today, but they do play tomorrow. So it's a nice Buffalo sports fall weekend, if you want to look at it that way. Because, you know, the Sabres play today, Bills play tomorrow, and then the Sabres play again on Monday, which is nice because, like I said, they haven't played in what feels like a week and a half. So all of those, you know, those two games they played in Europe, that sort of disadvantage they have over the league where they've played more games than everybody is now gone. Looking at the standings here, the Sabres are at 8 games played on the season. If they win today, they'll be at a record of 4-4-1, putting them at 9 points, which would also put them at second in the Atlantic Division, right behind Florida, who's at first with 11 points. And they've also played 9 games, though, the Florida Panthers. So technically, you're on pace with the leaders in the Atlantic right now in terms of games played, which is something that was kind of on the minds of a lot of people when the Sabres first started over in Europe was, hey, you're going to have 2 games on everybody else. And, you know, that's something the Sabres usually haven't had over the past few years. It's one of the things that kind of kept the hope alive for the playoffs a few years ago was the fact that the Sabres had so few games played than everybody else. I mean, I remember it was, okay, how many games behind them are the Florida Panthers? Oh, they actually have 2 games on the Panthers. Great. So that's 4 extra points the Sabres can still get. And doing all that math and the mental gymnastics there of just hoping that something would happen. And it was close. We know that. It was 1 point away. But now it kind of seemed like the shoe was going to be on the other foot. And granted, it's early in the season, so everyone's kind of, you know, all over the place with these things. I mean, the team they played in Europe, the Devils, is at 11 games played. So it's 3 more, about to be 2 more than the Sabres after today. So there are teams that are, you know, a little different than others, but for most of the NHL, everyone's around 7, 8, 9 games. But, you know, I think that a game like today, while it won't mean too much, I don't think, in terms of, you know, it's another 2 points or it's not another 2 points. I don't think we'll be looking back on this game at the end of the season going, oh, man, they lost that one game on October 26th to the Detroit Red Wings. Granted, the Red Wings are in your division, but I think if you're looking back at this, it's more so what this game means for the vibe around the team. Because that's something that's always been an issue the past few years, is the Sabres have not been able to get it done at home, not been able to get it done in front of the home fans. We saw that at multiple points last year where you'd come out and it'd be a first period and you'd guarantee Sabres were going to be down 2-0. And that was, you know, that was hard to take as a fan that would go to games, as someone that would just watch it on TV. It's hard to, you know, see that. But then when they went on the road last year, it was impeccable. The road record was much better than the home record, which is great because away games are really technically harder. But, you know, it's something where it's at small advantage of, hey, you're at home, you're going to sleep in your own bed, you're getting up and doing your normal morning routine around your own house, you're not in a hotel, you're not, you know, trying to get breakfast somewhere at some whatever, you're in a normal routine. You've been home now for a week and a half, and you can kind of ease into things a little better. But I think that's something that this team is going to embrace more and focus more on this year. It seems like so far anyway. I mean, they've got 2 wins on home ice so far of their 3 wins. So technically your record at home is already better. But I think that looking at what this would mean for the fan base, it's a third win in a row and the second win in a row in home ice coming off of a long break and having another game shortly after. Like I said, they play, I think it's Monday, might be Tuesday. Let me check here. But I just think it's important to start getting these wins together early on in the season because, as we heard last year from guys like Captain Kyle Okposo, they knew they were out of it by November, which, if you're checked out by November, that's the first, not even third of your season. We're about to be in November, which is, you know, that's something that I think that this team is kind of looking at differently. It's a different mindset around this team now. Like, it's not, I don't want to say if there's not more pressure, but I feel like they're playing without pressure. It seems like they've gone back to that scoring and they've gone back to that just, let's just play how we play. And that's what they did 2 years ago when they were scoring 6-7 goals a game with ease. I mean, sure, sometimes they would let up 5, 6, 7 goals a game, but you could usually outscore the opponent a couple years ago. Last year, they couldn't outscore their opponents for anything. I mean, and that's what it looked like at the first 3 games this year. You know, the first 3 losses, you only score 1 goal in each game, but then, boom, you come out against this former Stanley Cup champions, you put 5 past them. And then, sure, you lose to Pittsburgh in overtime, 6-5, but you still score 5 goals, four against Columbus, four against Chicago, four against Dallas. I mean, they're on a good goal-scoring pace right now, which is something that we needed last year, that they needed to see last year. The next game is on Monday against Florida again. Wow, that's interesting. They're getting their Florida games out of the way this year, it seems like. But this is also going to be a different Florida team than the one you saw a week and a half ago, because you're going to have Matthew Tkachuk back in the lineup. You'll not have Alexander Barkov yet. He's going to be out for a little while still. But Matthew Tkachuk is certainly a big-time force in that Florida lineup. So that will add a bit to Florida's game on Monday. But focusing on today with Detroit, Sal Capaccio was talking about it yesterday on the Extra Point Show, the sort of high-event, low-event type of games that some teams play in all types of sports. But Detroit is one of those teams that plays that low-event hockey, that boring but will beat you anyway hockey. And you can see it, apparently, from their stats, from their games. I mean, yes, they scored five goals in the Devils in their win on Thursday, but the Red Wings only had 19 shots on goal. That's an impressive shooting percentage that I do not think is sustainable, but it's something that, you know, when teams play like that, it's hard to play against it no matter who you are. I mean, the Islanders have played like that for years, which has caused teams a lot of troubles and has let the Islanders do some, you know, deep playoff runs. But in terms of what Detroit can do today, Detroit, in terms of what they can do to the Sabres today, is they can play that boring style of hockey and slow things down. If the Red Wings get control of the game in that way, that's where the Sabres could falter. And it's not on them. That's, like I said, that's a hard thing to do for any team in the NHL. That's tough to go up against, because when a team can control the game with a slow type of pace of play, your players can check out. You can, you know, kind of just get frustrated or just zone out, essentially. And as long as the Sabres can go out there and grab a hold of this game right away in the first period, which I think they can. I think that atmosphere in the arena is going to be great today. They're wearing the goat heads for the first time this year. It's the Hockey Halloween event, which is always fun. I just think that that's the best way you can capitalize on this, is there's going to be a good building in there today. You're going to have a lot of energy. The players need to harness that. And I think they can. They've shown that they can create their own energy so far this year. I mean, that Dallas game, for what it's worth in terms of, you know, looking into the whole crowd aspect of it, it wasn't a very filled building. And I know that's something that we've seen over the past, you know, 13 years here, but we haven't really seen the team go out there and create their own energy, not having to feed off the fans. And I know that's something that, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but it does make a difference when a team that usually can't do that, they can't go out there and just get it going themselves, which is something the Sabres have shown they can't do over the past few years. That's something that I think is very important to see early on this season. I think it has a lot to do with the new coaching staff with Lindy Ruff. I think it has a lot to do with the changeover in the leadership group. Now you have Darlene as captain. You have Tage and Cousins and Samuelson and Tuck as the leaders of this team, which they have been, but now they're the official ones. They're the alternate captains or the captains, which I think is important. I think having that label there does make a little bit of a difference in terms for those players. They know they have to be more of a leader there, but I think those guys can activate this team and get this team going. And especially too, when you have great goaltending play from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who has been stellar so far this season. I mean, him and Levi have both had one or two bad games where it's, you know, oh, that should have been a save there. Levi's especially in the Columbus game. But looking at Luukkonen, I mean, you know, he played in the loss to the Kings, but that one was that was the home opener. And realistically, it was a 2-1 game. Whenever I look at the games that have the empty net goals and it's 3-1. Yes, it's 3-1 on the score sheet. But I look at it as, okay, your goalie let in two goals. And if you look at it, breaking it down, the Sabres kind of fell apart at the end of that game. Like, it looked like they normally used to a few years ago, where you take some bad penalties at the end of the game, you let the other team tie it up, and then boom, they take the momentum and score. Luukkonen didn't really necessarily play bad in that game, but looking at the Pittsburgh game, which was a couple nights later, That was the 6-5 overtime loss to the Penguins, where you probably needed some saves from Luukkonen in that one, but I think he's more than made up for it in the past two games against Chicago and Dallas. In Chicago, obviously only lets in two in a 4-2 win, and in Dallas lets in two late ones, partially because of the fact that Dallas has their goaltender pulled. The first one against Dallas, I look at it, I mean, it was a loopy shot from the point through three or four guys in front of him. That one, you can't do much about. And the second one, I can't really remember it, but I think it was kind of a log jam in front of the net and somebody tapped it in. But that's something that I think is important too, is Luukkonen has been showing what he did last year, he can do again this year. There were many times in the Dallas game where he's sprawling across the crease, making big saves, and that itself creates momentum for the team. When your goalie can go out there and stop a breakaway or stop a two-on-one or just make a big save in general, it gets you amped up. It gets you going. Hey, that guy did something for me. I got to go out and do something for him now. I got to go out and score a goal. I got to go make a big hit or a good pass or something just to keep it going. And I think that's something that this team has shown they can do, is create that momentum and be aggressive. You know, it makes much more of a difference when there's a whole team of guys going out there and doing this, rather than, hey, you know, Tage is really after it this game. He's playing great, but nobody else around him is playing great. Well, sure, that's awesome that Tage is doing it, but he can't do it all himself. I mean, sure, we've seen him, you know, go out there and score five goals in one game before, but he can't do that on a night-to-night basis. And that was the problem, was you're kind of relying on those guys a little too heavily last year. But now this year you have an improved bottom six, which has looked great so far, and you're potentially getting Nicholas Aubé-Kubel back today, which he was a good piece in that. But you also have had other players step up. Jordan Greenway has had a great season so far, and he's in that bottom six with Zucker and McLeod. McLeod has been an impressive addition. So I look at all of these things and how players are returning to form that we thought they were going to go to last year, but they're actually coming back to it kind of this year. I mean, Tage has a 6-game point streak going on right now, 5-game point streak. So you look at everything that we were expecting last year with the Sabres, and it's kind of all coming to fruition this year, which, sure, it stinks that it's a year later, but you're happy that it's happening, and there's still things to work on. Yes, the power play has not scored. That's one of the things, that's the main thing I'm looking for today, is you're wearing the goat head. You're always talking about how you feel evil playing in it. Go out there and score on the power play, please. Just once. I mean, they should have a few times against Dallas, and they scored one of their goals right after the power play ended, which you can argue the momentum there kind of carried them over. But it's got to go in. One of these shots has to go in. It's going to happen eventually. I'm not super worried about that, because the past couple games, the power play has looked better. Through the first five or six games, the power play looked abysmal. But the past couple, they've been getting their shots off. They've been entering the zone, which, you know, it's kind of key when you're on the power play. You got to enter the zone. But when you can do all of those things and you're right there, the goals are going to come. It's much like I was saying with Detroit, where how Detroit has had this crazy shooting percentage over their first 7-8 games. That isn't going to be sustainable. Something like that is going to eventually turn around to bite them, because, I mean, 19 shots in one game where the other team shoots about 40, it's not great. You can't really sustain that. So I look at this matchup today, just Detroit and Buffalo, and how they both have been playing this year, and I think the Sabres have a real chance to not only build on the momentum they've had so far, but also get ahead of a divisional opponent. Because like I said, this game, looking back at it at the end of the year, we're not going to be sitting here saying, oh, if they won that October 26th game, the Sabres would be in the playoffs. I don't think that's the case. But I do think it's important just for keeping it going. Even if you just get a point, even if you force overtime, which is another thing the team couldn't do last year, just doing that alone, I think, will help this team stay out of any sort of rut, because that's something that you have to avoid at the beginning of the year too, is not getting into those long, drawn-out losing streaks or the win-one, lose-one type mentality where you don't win three games in a row until, what was it last year, February, March, when they won three games in a row finally? Right now they're on a 2-game win streak. I mean, you could really just obliterate last year's winning streak record right away, which I think would be important for the team and for the fans themselves. But like I said, we're talking some Sabres hockey today because they play at 1. Looking for your calls, 716-803-0550 is the number to call if you want to talk to me about the Sabres. You can also talk to me about the Bills because I know, like I said, it's a big game for the Bills on Sunday. Kind of a sneaky, tough opponent, depending on if DK Metcalf is there, and the Seattle Seahawks. And with Terrell Bernard being out, that's a big blow to the Bills' defense, along with Dwayne Carter and Curtis Samuel being out as well. But like I said, anything you want to talk about, I'm all ears until noon. That's when the Steve Foley Law pregame starts off with Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro, and Paul Hamilton. Pat Malacaro will actually be joining me at 11:45 to do a little bit of extended pregame, get his thoughts on the power play and the power play and the power play and why it hasn't scored yet. But, you know, just thoughts about the team in general as well. But again, looking for your calls, 803-0550 to talk on the Sabres. Like I said before, if they win today, they're in second in the Atlantic, which, yes, it's October. And I was just talking about how this game won't mean much if we look back at the whole season. I'm sure there's going to be other games along the way that are must-win games and things of that nature. And yes, it is a divisional opponent, but it's October 26th. We're 9 games into the season after today's game. Yes, every point matters, but I think there's many other games further down the road that are going to matter more. I mean, you still have 3 or 4 other games against Detroit. You have another one next week. Next, a week from today, they're playing in Detroit. So this is kind of almost just like a good, you know, scouting report. I mean, obviously, you want to get the win too, but this is a divisional opponent. You have to get the win this week and next week just to make sure they're not ahead of you. And then you don't play Detroit again until March, which that's bonkers to me. I don't know why that's so far apart. That's crazy. Oh, there's one in December too. There it is. Okay, so there's your 4 games against Detroit, which that's another team that's been battling with the Sabres for the past few years for that final playoff spot. So, you know, looking at the schedule and the teams they play, it's a lot of division or conference opponents right now haven't played much out on the West Coast except for Dallas and LA. I mean, Chicago too, but they're just in the Western Conference. But, you know, a lot of these games early on for the Sabres this year, the way their schedule is constructed, is conference games or divisional games, which those ones are the ones where if you're off to a hot start, that's perfect. Because, well, yes, losing to a Western Conference team isn't great. You're not giving points to an opponent. You're not giving points to a Detroit, a Pittsburgh, a Washington, New Jersey. Teams like that are teams you need to beat. And I know I just sat here and said this game's not going to matter at the end of the season, but in terms of divisional opponent, it does matter. But the points themselves, I don't think will be the points of like, oh, if the Sabres missed by 2, it's this game or it's that game. It's usually in hockey a lot of different reasons. That's why it's so much different than if you look at football, like, oh, that one game they lost in week 7 was the reason why or whatever. But looking at this overall, I mean, this is a perfect stretch for the Sabres to get going. Again, you're at home, which is important to get wins at home because, like I said, you haven't had that recently. But as long as they can, you know, keep this next week and a half going well, you have Detroit, Florida, New York, Islanders, that is, Detroit again, Ottawa. Those 5 games, those are big games in terms of division. And they're all decently spaced out, except for next week you have a back-to-back, Friday and Saturday. You're at home against New York, and then you're on the road in Detroit on Saturday at 7. So far the schedule's been kind to the Sabres. Aside from the start in Europe having to come home, they've had nice space between games. So I think that's something else that's really nice, that they don't have to worry about injuries and fatigue and things like that. So hopefully they can keep things going today against the Red Wings. It's the first black and red game. We're going to take our first time out here. When we get back, we're going to talk more on the Sabres and what they can do to activate that power play. Again, if you want to get in, 803-0550, you can tweet at me, at Schmitty47, 1T, no D in Schmidt, because my name is spelled a little different than everyone else's. But you're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now the Sabres with a potential 2-on-1 with the speed of McLeod to the net. Scores! Ryan McLeod turned on the Rockets, drove to the net, and it's 2-0 Sabres.
Hopefully we hear this goal song today. It's Dan Dunleavy on the call there from McLeod's goal against the Stars, right? That was the Stars' goal because McLeod has had much more goals than we expected this year. I mean, I thought, you know, hey, he's a good piece coming in on the third line. He'll be a good scrappy forward up there. But no, he's been really good so far.
I think this Savoy trade has so far really paid off. I'm not going to say it has paid off, but you look better about it. Obviously, people are going to be like, well, why would you trade your number one prospect in Matthew Savoy? Well, I think the issue was
he was number one at that point anymore.
Right. I think the issue was is that there was an unknown with how he was. And with McLeod, you have a guy who's fast and has already kind of made himself a name in the league.
Right. And Savoy so far.
Best smile on the team.
Savoy so far, for those wondering, has been playing in the AHL with the Bakersfield Condors, the Edmonton affiliate. 3 points, 5 games played, 1 goal, 2 assists, and four plus minus. So, all right, well, he's off to an okay start in the AHL. But again, you're getting production at the NHL level, which is what you weren't getting with a guy like Matthew Savoy. And that's nothing against Savoy. He didn't really have a shot at the NHL with the Sabres. He played 1 game, but part of that was in due to, you know, injuries and such and things like that. He played with the Amerks last season in Rochester, 6 games, 5 points. He also played in the WHL last year, winning the WHL's trophy with the Moose Jaw Warriors. 23 games played, 47 points in 23 games, which, again, looking at that at a pure numbers statistic, that's really good turnover. But again, that's the WHL. You need him to show that in the AHL, which so far with Bakersfield, he's getting there, but it's not there yet. And again, that's why they go out and get Ryan McLeod and get someone that can help at the NHL level right now, which I've loved his game so far. He's been one of my favorite Sabres this season. And, you know, Zach Jones and I joked about it earlier this week in the Extra Point show that why don't we just buy his jersey? Let's just do it. But no, because then the jersey curse and all that good stuff. So we'll not be doing that, but I really, really want to. And you know, if I can ever break my jersey curse, I will. But I'm feeling amped up for the game today. I'm feeling evil as the Sabres just posted their Goathead hype video for this season. That song that Evan played coming back here, Song 2 by Blur. If the Sabres score today, which I hope they do, that will be the goal song played this year. They're going to have two. So whenever the Sabres wear the Goathead, that song will play. Whenever they wear their regular blue and gold, you'll hear Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. And I'm just hoping we hear a lot of Song 2 today because it just takes me back to the early 2000s when that was the goal song for the original Goathead run.
And the fans will just go, they'll pause, they'll go, woohoo!
Yeah, I'm hoping for it. I love it when teams do that, and I hope the fans there embrace that today. I think they will. If you have fans there that are, you know, a little older, can remember when that was the thing, I think that'll go off really nicely. But Yeah, I mean, just seeing these goat head jerseys back on the ice, seeing them, the Sabres posting the locker room pictures of the jerseys hung up. I have my goat head hoodie on today. I'm just feeling it. I feel really good about today's game. But like I said before, they need to go out there and get control of this game early. Detroit's a game that can slow you down, make it boring, play their way, and win the game. I mean, the other night they played the New York Islanders, again, one of those most boring teams in hockey, which, if you can't tell, I hate the Islanders. I hate the way they play. They play like it's the 1980s and 1990s, and it's the worst time for, well, 1990s more so than the 80s. The 80s, you had Gretzky scoring 500 goals a game, felt like. But that 90s style of hockey where it's the trap and the Devils winning the cup and all that stuff, just by scoring one goal a game and shutting it down. That's exactly what the Islanders did against, or what the Red Wings did against the Islanders on Tuesday this past week. They beat the Islanders 1-0 in what I could only assume was the most boring game of hockey ever. I hate games like that unless you have high shots. And looking at this box score right now, the Islanders had 30 shots, which, okay, if you're an Islanders fan, that's great. You're seeing your team get a lot of chances, but it sure got frustrating after a while. The Red Wings, however, had 11. 11 shots and one goal. That's, again, not sustainable. You can't win hockey games like that for an entire season. It doesn't work. So if the Red Wings come out today and try to shoot 11 times or 19 times and think they're going to win, I don't think that's a very good recipe for success. I don't think it is. I want to say it's not, but the problem is the Sabres or the Red Wings can and have won games like that. It's mind-boggling to me. I mean, I don't understand how you can go out and do that. Granted, you've seen games on their schedule where it's the three losses they have, 6-3 to the Penguins, 4-1 to the Rangers, and then also 5-2 to the Rangers. So you see very clearly that there are nights it doesn't work against the better teams. They haven't really, it's also hard to tell so far who the good teams and the bad teams are. There's some that are clear, like the Rangers are good. The Penguins, though, you can argue that they're kind of that up and down sort of team. The other teams the Red Wings have beat so far this year, the Predators twice, the Islanders and the Devils. So those teams are the ones where you're kind of wondering. I mean, the Predators haven't won a single game this year. Well, at least they hadn't last I checked. They won two, their last two. They're 2-5 now. They started out 0-5 as one of the worst teams in hockey. So that's starting to turn around, but clearly one of the not as good teams in the NHL. The Islanders, however, 3-2-2. So one of those middling teams. Again, the Red Wings are an interesting team so far this year. They have basically the same roster as last year. Didn't have much turnover, didn't lose too much in free agency that I can remember. Still have Lucas Raymond, obviously, Dylan Larkin, their longtime captain, Alex DeBrincat. Still have Patrick Kane, brought him back. Added Vladimir Tarasenko. Hasn't done too much so far. Is that not fair to say? I mean, again, when you look at how many goals they've scored this season, 3 against Pittsburgh and a loss, 3 against Nashville and a win, 3 total in 2 games against the Rangers, both losses. So there's 6 goals right there through 4 games, 11, 14, 15, sorry. So 15 goals in 8 games for the Red Wings, 25 goals in 8 games for the Sabres. Again, it's something that I don't think is sustainable for a team like the Red Wings. I don't think they can keep that up. But if the Sabres can get their power play going, they can really get on top of the Red Wings early today. That's something we will talk to Pat Malacaro about next, as he's down at KeyBank Center getting ready for pregame. We're going to take another quick timeout and then be back with Pat and then get you off to Sabres pregame, the Steve Foley Law pregame show for Sabres Red Wings today at 1 o'clock, the first Goathead game of the year. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday. I'm Josh Schmidt, and we will be right back. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday. We welcome Pat Malacaro from KeyBank Center. Pat, I have an interesting NHL This Day in History for you right off the bat here. Okay. On this day in 2006, the Sabres win their 10th game in a row to start the season with 10 straight victories, matching the 1993-94 Toronto Maple Leafs for the longest season opening win streak in NHL history.
Yeah, that was a fun season.
Yeah.
That was a fun time to be at the arena. So, yeah, a fun couple of year span for this franchise and team, and I know it's a lot of the reason why the drought has been so pronounced is that it's been since almost that long that fans have had something not necessarily of that length but of that nature to kind of rally behind.
Yeah, and looking at it here, it says that Ryan Miller stopped all 29 shots, which is great, a goalie shutout. And in the picture they posted, it's got Miller being hugged by none other than Yuri Novotny. So a little blast from the past there for
you.
It
takes everyone.
Yeah, but, you know, good vibes around the Sabres today, I think. It's the first Goathead Day, and, you know, Detroit's a team that I've been talking about this morning. They come in with a kind of a lower event style of hockey, as we've been calling it, and, you know, not scoring too many goals and not getting many shots on net, but somehow getting wins done. And I just don't think that's sustainable.
Yeah, they're a team that the Sabres, look, they're going to have to be fighting with and probably get past at some point this season if they're going to be a wild card team. The Red Wings, to me, are a team that the expectations last year were they had to make the playoffs. They didn't make a ton of changes like you're kind of alluding to, keeping the same head coach, but staying the course a little bit. And look, you have Steve Yzerman running the organization. He built what turned into the three-time Stanley Cup finalist in Tampa Bay. I know Yzerman kind of handed things off to Julien Brisebois down there in Tampa, but you've got a guy who knows how to build winning teams, and he's sticking with the plan right now. So this Sabres team at some point is going to have to be better than them in terms of you know, getting into that playoff mix. And I look at today as an opportunity for the Sabres team to build off of what was a game against the Dallas team that I talk about, you know, historically the last couple of years, hard to play against, very good goaltending. And the Sabres found a way to just continue to press the play and really were the better team virtually all night long and made the game tough on Dallas, not the other way around.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this too. You know, obviously the big glaring number is the big zero on the power play chart for the Sabres. Do you think today they finally get one? I mean, it looked like they were going to get a few against Dallas, and they did get that Peyton Krebs goal right after the power play ended. But I mean, one of these has got to go in, right, Pat? I mean, it's gonna happen soon. And today feels like a good day to do it with the goat head and hockey Halloween and everything. Just I feel like today's the day.
Yeah, law of averages says, I mean, sooner rather than later, you're this far into the season and you don't have one yet. Only one power play on Thursday night against the Stars, or earlier this week against the Stars, I should say. But, you know, it's going to come with opportunities. The baffling part is, and I guess, you know, it really shouldn't be that baffling, is it's really the same players that now for over a year have been the power play guys, say Victor Olofsson, who's not here anymore. But for the most part, it's been a lot of the same players, and going back two seasons, the same guys that have been on the power play. I have liked the puck movement, maybe more so than last year so far. So that is one positive for the special teams. And I'll say also the penalty kill against Dallas was such an important part of the game. So even though the Sabres didn't score a power play goal, the penalty kill itself, where they had to kill off more penalties than had power play chances, definitely when you're looking over the course of a game, that's such an important factor as well. So I do think you're right. I think, you know, today is a good day to get a power play goal for a lot of reasons, but it's going to come soon. And does that result in the power play going on a run over a couple of games? I don't know, but you got to at least get that one here.
And looking at their next five games for the Sabres here, obviously it's been a little bit of a weird season so far with the start in Europe and everything like that. There's been long breaks between games. I was saying when I started here, it felt like it's been like a week since the Sabres have played, but it's really just been since Tuesday. But obviously Detroit had a game in between then, so it's not, you know, they don't have as much rest as you do. But after this, the Sabres play on Monday, next Friday, and next Saturday in their first back-to-back of the year, and then in Ottawa the Tuesday after that. So a big five games coming up here against the Red Wings twice, the Panthers again, the Islanders, and the Senators. I mean, it's got to mean something big for the division, right? It's a lot of games against division opponents here early on in the season.
Yeah, and you want to look at games played, to your point a little bit there. The Sabres are at eight games. They're basically right in the middle of the mix New Jersey's played 11, the most far and away in the league right now. That was the Sabres' opponent over in Prague. You would have expected the Sabres to be right around that number as well, but they're pretty much right in the same number as everybody else between the Leafs. The Bruins are right there with them. You know, the Red Wings, as you mentioned, they've played 7 games to this point. So it's not as if the Sabres have played far and away so many more games than everybody else. And that was kind of the concern when you play over in Prague and you get those 2 games before everybody else starts. And you kind of feel like you need to get something out of that just because there's going to be so many days in which you don't have the opportunity to make up that time. But for the Sabres now, they're basically right in the mix as everybody else.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, at the beginning of the season I was worried about because of the whole Europe game and everything like that. I thought it was going to, you know, throw off the games played a little bit here. But like you said, they're right in the mix. And I think it's important that if you win today, you're going to put yourself at second in the Atlantic, which is pretty impressive. I mean, that's a tough division that we've seen over the past few years.
Yeah, second in Atlantic, and I know there's a lot of things that go into that victory over Florida. I don't want to discredit the win for the Sabres, but it might be a little bit different the next time around when the Sabres play Florida on Monday night. They didn't have Matthew Tkachuk. They won't have Sasha Barkov. So he's still dealing with his injury, but there were so many things that went into that when the Panthers coming off that game in Ottawa, where I'm expecting a different look from Florida. So that's going to be, I think, a tougher game coming up, but an opportunity to show that Dallas game, that first Florida game, you play well today. It's not just a couple of games fluke thing. It's a sustained stretch for this team that, to me, is, you know, should be a playoff team this year. That showing you can go toe-to-toe with some of the best teams in the conference, in the league, I think is a big step for this team to kind of make that push of establishing themselves as we're going to be in this fight all year long.
So, Pat, looking at the lines from yesterday at practice, a little bit of a tweak. Jason Zucker on the second line with Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn. Obviously, Nicholas Abe-Kubel back in practice yesterday on the third line, but we're not sure if he's playing today. So, if he doesn't play, do you think we're going to see the team go back to those same lines they had against Dallas where Jiří Kulík rotates in, or how do you think the lines are going to change up today?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see in about 45 minutes from now. It's a good question. I've liked what I've seen from Zucker so far in addition, you know, and especially helping create a lot of the offense in the last game against Dallas. And here's somebody who spent a majority of his career in the Western Conference and time with Pittsburgh as well. But I think one of those players, and we talk about rounding out the whole top four lines of the forwards, that's was a big addition in the offseason, the experience that he brings and his playmaking ability, even though, you know, he's been in the league for such a long time, still has very, very good skill and was on display against Dallas.
Well, we'll have to see what they do with the lines here today. Pat, thanks for joining me. You'll be up next with Brian on the Steve Foley Law pregame show, so we will get things wrapped up here. You've been listening to Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks for listening today. Stay tuned. The Steve Foley Law pregame show is next. Sabres puck drop at 1 o'clock against the Red Wings. You're listening to WGR.